Let's take our Bibles in hand this morning and turn to Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6. It's our ongoing series on some of the key passages on marriage and family in the Scripture. Come to the issue of parenting. Ephesians chapter 6. Next couple of Sundays, we'll be looking at Ephesians 6, 1 through 4 specifically. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This morning, really, I'm just going to introduce these verses to us, and next week, God willing, we'll get into the text in more detail. Let me begin our introduction to this subject and this text this way. I'm going to begin with a bit of a provocative quote from John MacArthur. MacArthur writes in one book, "Raising children in a biblical manner does not need to be as hard as most people make it." You say, did he just say that parenting isn't hard? Is he crazy? Does he have any kids? I think he had five, so he was at four, something like that. Raising children in a biblical manner doesn't need to be as hard as most people make it. How can you say that? Actually, I kind of agree with that quote, but it may take a little bit of explanation to understand what he means by that. Everyone who has children agrees that raising children is hard work. No question of that. Raising children is hard work. We have to fight against the world. We have to fight against our own flesh as parents. We have to fight against our children's sinful propensities as well. A child's ability to disobey seems virtually endless, as does my ability to respond poorly when they disobey. Teaching, training, and disciplining children is tiring. It's emotionally exhausting. It can be anxious work. It requires faith in God. It requires endurance. It requires a tireless commitment to do what is right one more time than they do what's wrong. But there is another sense in which parenting, while it definitely is hard work, is not complicated. It's not complicated. You say, well, how can you say that? In the longest New Testament passage on the subject of parenting, Ephesians 6, there are only two things that you have to teach children to do. Two things. That's it. God boils all of parenting down to two simple commands. It's kind of like what Jesus did. He said, you want to know what you need to do? Really, you need to love God and love your neighbor. Everything else falls under that. Well, Paul does the same thing here. In fact, I can sum up those two commands in one simple statement. Teach your children to obey you and to have a good, respectful attitude as they do so. That's it. That's parenting. Teach them to obey and honor. Children, obey your parents. Honor your father and mother. Now, is there more to parenting than that? Well, of course there is, in a sense. But certainly in the early years of a child's life, God intentionally does you a favor, parents. He makes parenting as uncomplicated as possible. Teach your kids to obey you with a good attitude. It's startlingly simple. God's two basic commands to children are obey your parents and honor your parents. Everything else falls under that. As in Ephesians 5, what has come just before by the working of the Spirit in their heart, as wives submit to their husbands, and as husbands are to love their wives, basic instruction to wife and husband. So God also has basic instruction for kids. Do what your parents say, and do it with a good attitude. And when children are taught to do that, it brings peace, stability to a home. Just like when a husband lovingly, sacrificially serves and leads his wife, and when a wife graciously submits to her husband, that brings peace and stability to the home. God looks at it and says, husbands have their task, wives have their task, and kids, you're part of the deal. Everyone has their role. Here's what you do, children, to bring peace and stability to the home. Everyone respects authority. God, or the husband, respects God and Christ, and the wife respects the husband, and the children respect the father and mother. Now, I'm going to say a little bit more about parenting than just that as we go through this text. But it's kind of relieving to remind ourselves of this at the beginning. Everything, especially with younger children, everything comes back to this basic parenting principle. Your God-assigned job, your God-assigned task is to graciously and lovingly help your children do what you say with a good attitude. See, now, well, what about evangelism, Joel? Don't we want our children to be saved? Isn't that part of parenting? Well, yes. Are we to prepare our children to live in but not of the world? Yes. Are we to prepare them one day as they grow to be a good husband or a good wife, a good worker, to be a good Jesus-loving, church-loving believer in Jesus Christ? Yes, yes, and yes. Someone who fears God and knows and lives out the wisdom of the book of Proverbs? Yes, but you know what? Foundational to all of that is this. A parent's first job is to joyfully and lovingly teach his or her children to do what they're told with a good attitude. Parenting is more than that, but it's never less than that. That's the essential core. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now, these two commands in verse 1 and 2, to obey and to honor, they're given to the children, but we intuitively understand that they're kind of given to the parents as well. Because without parents helping them do this, children will be aimless arrows. They will never hit the target of obedience and honor. They'll just fly everywhere and stick into the ground and whatever else. Children need to be aimed at the target of these two commands, and parents are the archers who do the aiming. Now, you might think as I emphasize this, I'm making a little too much of these commands to obey and honor. The kids especially are thinking that right now. Right? But I say, okay, it's not that simple. It's just there's a lot of other complicated things. There's got to be. Turn to Romans chapter 1 for a moment. Romans chapter 1. Let me remind you of a couple of New Testament texts to show you just how important, how central the issue of obey and honor is to the task of parenting. In Romans chapter 1, God speaks of the degeneration of human society, the degeneration of the human hearts. Men and women foolishly rebel, turn away from God, seeking idols of all sorts as replacement to the true God. According to this chapter, their turning away from God affects their worship, it affects their sexuality, it affects all of their behavior. As part of their judgment, God gives them over to their ruinous, destructive behavior and attitudes. Now, notice what we find nestled in the middle of this list of ruinous, destructive attitudes and behavior. Verse 28. Romans 1, verse 28. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, that's a bad start, isn't it? God gave them over to depraved minds to do those things which are not proper. Now he's going to give you a list. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips, slanders, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, and so on. I would suggest to you that there is no behavior on this list that is more ruinous and more destructive than children being disobedient to parents. The rest of the list lines up behind it, in a sense. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul gave a similar list, saying, "In the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy," and on goes the list. See, disobedience to parents is not some kind of secondary, peripheral issue to God. That, well, parents, if you kind of get everything in your life sorted out, you know, but yeah, if your kids aren't doing so well, well, that's really okay. No, it's right in the middle of all the lists, isn't it? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1 for a moment. God takes the disobedience of children very, very seriously. That's illustrated for us in Deuteronomy chapter 21. As you turn there, let me remind you of an Old Testament incident that also illustrates this principle. I might remind you of Eli, the high priest of Israel. Do you remember the stern words that God spoke to him through the young boy Samuel? It was Samuel's very first prophecy. The very first prophecy of a lifetime of prophecy had to do with God's concern about disobedient sons. Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were wicked men. You remember they corrupted and defiled the priestly office of God in unspeakable ways. In response to that, the Lord said, I will carry out against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from the beginning. For I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, the father Eli, he knew because his sons brought a curse on themselves because he, the father, did not rebuke them. God says to Eli, I'm going to bring judgment on you and on your sons because you didn't rebuke what they were doing wrong. And you might remember in 1 Samuel 4, Hophni and Phinehas ended their lives on the sharp end of Philistine swords because of their ungodly lifestyles. But it wasn't just that. God's anger was equally directed at Eli, their father, who knew their sin and did not rebuke them. All three, the two sons and the father, executed in one day by God for the way they ran their family. God is not in favor of laxity and ungodly permissiveness in parenting. I think we can conclude that. Now, a passage that we would get that from the Old Testament law would be Deuteronomy chapter 21. God spoke in that passage I mentioned to Eli, saying, I'm going to fulfill all that I promised. And say, well, he hadn't spoken to Eli about this yet. He had in Deuteronomy 21. The reason Hophni and Phinehas are executed is right here, verse 18. If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them. Then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gateway of his hometown. They shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard. We're probably not dealing with a 5-year-old right here, but maybe a 15 or 20-year-old, right? He's a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death. Israel hadn't done it to Hophni and Phinehas, so God did it with Philistine swords. You shall remove the evil from your midst. All Israel hear of it and fear. Say, wow. Kids, do what your parents say. That's a good principle, right? Good principle. In fact, we'll see in a moment, it's dangerous to disobey. That's key to the principle of key principle in parenting. Now, as New Testament believers, we're all very glad that we're not under the Mosaic law, so we don't handle rebellious children exactly this way anymore. However, I think it does underline for us how seriously God takes the matter of parents teaching their children to obey. The simple truth is, since God appointed parents as authorities over children, children obey your parents, he sees rebellion against parents as rebellion against him. It's that simple. He sees rebellion against parents as rebellion against him. So God helps us out as parents by making the difficult job of parenting young children uncomplicated. Not saying that it's not hard, but he uncomplicates it for us. He says, really all you need to do is teach them to obey you with a good attitude, showing respect in the various ways that are appropriate to a parent-child relationship. And even in different cultures, that'll be a little bit different. In the African culture, you don't look your parents in the eye. In my culture, my dad would say, look me in the eye when I'm talking to you. Well, respect is given different ways. But you teach them to obey and show the appropriate respect of a child to a parent in that culture. Now, as always, with God's simple, basic commands, whether it's a husband to love his wife, or whether it's a wife to submit to her husband, or children to obey their parents. As always, there's some things fighting against that. In this case, both the world and our flesh, our sinfulness, are at cross purposes with God, are in conflict with God and his purposes. And therefore, rather than lovingly helping our children obey the two basic commands, obey and honor, that God has given them, the world and our flesh tend to slide us towards two different responses. And let me take a few moments to develop them. Some things that get in the way when we're trying to or should be trying to do what God has said here. From the children's side, obey and honor. From the parents' side, don't provoke and bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. What are some things that get in the way? Two things, permissiveness and authoritarianism. I think permissiveness would probably in our circles be the more difficult challenge that we need to face. So let's start there, permissiveness. Permissiveness fights against the flesh. Fights against God's command. It comes from our flesh. It comes from the world on the outside. It's not a new problem. Parenting today is really not all that different than it was all the rest of the ages of history. It's not a new problem. Let me read you a quote that could have come from this morning's newspaper, but in fact came from the Roman historian Tacitus, who wrote about 50 or 60 years after Paul wrote the letter of Ephesians. And talking about parenting in the Roman Empire, the Roman historian Tacitus said this, quote, "Parents themselves make no effort to train their little ones in goodness or self-control. They grow up in an atmosphere of laxity and pertness, in which they come gradually to lose all sense of shame and all respect for other people," unquote. That could have come from this morning's newspaper, but it came from Tacitus writing about 110, 115 AD. There's nothing new under the sun, and permissiveness has always been there, and it's here today. Parents who make little or no effort to help their children obey the only two commands that God has really given directly to children, or let's say the two most important ones at least, parents who don't make much effort to do that, that's not a new problem. Well, let's examine in our day, though, some of the things that contribute to that. So let's start on the outside, the world, permissiveness in the world. In our case, our modernized, psychologized world has embraced laxness or permissive parenting as some kind of utopian ideal, that if we just take Disney theology and let them follow their heart, then everything will be wonderful. And the results that we see all around us, of course, are disastrous. For example, pick up any worldly manual on child raising. Many of them will claim to be Christian, but with their psychological basis, they are just as worldly as everything else. Pick up any worldly manual on child raising, and that book will tell you that your primary task as a parent is to build your child's self-esteem. Nowhere does the Bible teach that. It's just not found. There's no verse I can turn to, because the Bible just doesn't teach it. It does teach that children are to esteem God by obeying him, honoring him, and worshiping him. The Bible teaches that children are to esteem their parents by obeying and honoring them. That's basically what the word honor your father and mother means. The self-honoring of pop psychology, it's just not a biblical agenda. Self-honor, in fact, in many cases, has replaced honoring God and parents, and I don't think the retargeting of honor has done us any good, has it? That's one of the world's significant contributions to permissiveness. Self-esteem ad nauseum that allows children to kind of do whatever they want. Rather than combat the inherently sinful rebellion that's in every child's heart, parents relentlessly affirm and refuse to correct, even when their child is obviously being bad. That's the first thing that attacks these two basic commands to children. Children, obey your parents and honor your father and mother. Honor has been shifted from parents to self, and that's not a good plan. Second worldly attack on Ephesians 6, 1 through 2 is psychology's penchant or habit for labeling. Labeling. Not just the whole self-honoring thing, but the labeling thing. Today, it's a runaway fad to give disobedient, dishonoring behavior in children and even adults impressive labels, and they usually come as letters in the alphabet, as you know. ADD, ADHD, ADWXYZ, I mean, you know, fill it in, right? Pick your letter and find a word. Well, without going into all the silly sort of, you know, things that they do, you know, anti-authority syndrome, you know, or whatever, inability to submit to teachers syndrome. I mean, it's just ridiculous, right? Those kind of labels discourage good parenting. In a word, they discourage biblical parenting. They don't encourage it. They're just not helpful. Here's the issue. Many people confuse the descriptions of behavior provided by those labels, attention deficit disorder, right? Whatever. Okay, well, some kids are more active than others, hyperactive, whatever. They confuse the description of behavior provided by those labels with a diagnosis. And a description and a diagnosis are not the same thing. The medical model has been pushed into psychology, and it's not helpful for us. Thinking those labels are actually a diagnosis of some kind of irreversible condition rather than merely a description of how the child is behaving. I mean, you go through the 18 characteristics of an ADD child, and I would guess that probably all of us have them, right? Anybody who's a high energy, you got it. I mean, everybody's there. Can't sit still in a chair. Well, I mean, I'm looking at you guys right now. And some of you are ADD because you're all over the place, right? It's just a description. It's not a diagnosis. But not understanding the difference between a description and a diagnosis of a behavior, of an irreversible condition, rather, parents are left imagining that there are some children, maybe even many or most, whom God's command to obey and honor doesn't really apply. In that scenario, then drugs replace discipline. Because it's easier to administer a pill than it is to administer patient, godly discipline and instruction. Don't give in to the description of the behavior as if it were a diagnosis. Now, there's no question that some children find obeying these two commands, honor your father and mother, obey your parents. There's no question that some find that more difficult than others. But let's think of it this way. When has the fact that sometimes it's difficult for you to restrain your flesh, when has that ever been a valid reason for you to ignore doing what God wants you to do? Well, never. You know, it's not a valid argument for kids either. The fact that it's hard for an adult to resist stealing or lying or fornicating or getting drunk doesn't mean that they don't need to restrain that sinful behavior. You have sins that I don't struggle with. I have sins that you don't struggle with. Right? The fact that I struggle with certain sins doesn't mean in those areas I can just throw wide the doors of my flesh and do what I want. It means I need to work all the harder and get some help. Well, it's the same with kids. Forget all the unhelpful pop psychology labels. God's rules of conduct and attitude still apply. They always apply. Some kids will find it harder to sit still and concentrate. Well, of course they will. You help them by helping them. Doesn't sound real profound, but it kind of is, actually. You help them by helping them, not by giving them a fancy label and letting them continue to be dominated by their weaknesses. You help them by helping them, not by pinning a label on them. So the self-honoring craze and the self-esteem of the self-esteem movement and the labeling craze that seems like reasons not to obey, those are two ways that the world from the outside contributes to permissiveness in parenting. Two ways that the world undermines God's instruction to children to obey their parents and to honor them in their attitude in Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. Now, but we have to draw the circle in a little tighter, don't we? Because we can't just blame the world, because the biggest problem in this picture is probably you and me, the parents. Every biblical counselor who's ever counseled in this kind of situation says, counseling children is really an exercise in counseling the parents. If you get the parents fixed, the children usually do okay. As parents, our flesh contributes to the problem of permissiveness in parenting as well. God says, children, obey your parents, honor your father and mother. Our flesh as parents is something that keeps us from helping our children do that. Let me give you a couple of examples. In our flesh, sometimes as parents, we make up inane, kind of crazy, silly excuses that wouldn't bear up to any logic at all. But we make up these inane kind of excuses to avoid helping our children do the two things God told them to do. Oh, she's too young to be corrected, too young to obey. Too young? Proverbs 19:18 says, discipline your son while there is hope. And if you wait, then it gets harder and harder and harder. You know, you dig the weeds out of the ground right after it's rained. That's when it's soft and you can pull those babies up, right? But if you wait for 3 months of blazing sunshine and now you try to dig that weed out of the ground, you're going to need a jackhammer to do it. Why would you spend 2, 3, 5 years letting a child's inbuilt inclination to disobedience and disrespect over those years gradually, not even gradually, quickly harden into some kind of armor-coated habit? By age 5, they're a battle tank. And it's going to take an armor-piercing shell to get through their disobedience and dishonor. Too young to be corrected. That's not the Bible's approach. But that's one thing that sometimes in our flesh as parents will say, in spite of what Proverbs says. There's another one. Oh, it's a stage. He'll outgrow it. It's a stage. Stage? It's called sin, I think. God said, children, obey your parents. And he didn't put some parentheses in here talking about different stages where they don't really have to do that. Isn't it cute when they express their wills? Cute. Jesus died for that. It's not cute. I mean, our flesh can come up with a host of silly excuses to keep us from helping our children apply these verses. But as parents, we are to be archers shooting our children at this target. Do what mom and dad say, and do it with a good attitude. We don't need the psychologists with lab coats and clipboards to help us go wrong here. Right, just our flesh will be enough. Another thing that contributes from the flesh side as parenting to this permissiveness problem as parents is sometimes just sheer brute parental laziness. Or maybe some kind of relentless, selfish self-preoccupation with work or hobbies or something like that that just keeps us from giving time and attention to doing our job as a parent. We give attention to everything else, but helping our children obey these two commands, the two basic commands for them from God, well, that just kind of slips by. Children are a wonderful blessing from the Lord. But they come with a little tag attached that says, I'm hard work. There's responsibility attached. Sometimes parents want to think that well, I can have children, because there's that desire to have kids in most of our hearts, right? And have kids, but the rest of my life can all stay the same. I don't really have to change anything else. No. You know, if you get a puppy, your life changes. Kids take a little more responsibility than puppies. Children are a blessing, but they come with work and responsibility, and we have to put that into our mindset as parents. As sinners, sometimes we as parents, we love temporary comfort more than the process of disciplining and instructing that Paul will talk about in verse 4. Sometimes we love that, and what we think is, well, if I just take a break here, if I just let them do what they want this time and then the next time and then the next time and kind of becomes a habit, well, it's disciplining and teaching and doing what you're talking about, Joel. It's just too hard to work. I mean, I don't want to get up off the couch. You know, have you ever spanked your child 17 times in one day? Yes, I have, and I won't tell you which ones. Not one, it was. Which ones it were. I've done that, been there. You know it too if you're a parent. It's hard work. Here's the point I think we need to understand. unruly children comfort no one. Isn't that true? We got some teachers here. Unruly kids, teachers, do they comfort you, make the classroom easy, place of peace, blessing? Not really. How about the rice aisle at Pick and Pay? You know, there's shopping, the unruly kid, does it make that aisle a wonderful place to be? Unruly kids comfort no one. And so when we give up on helping our children obey these two commands, obey and honor, what happens is we're saying, oh, well, but I'm too tired and I just want some peace and quiet, some comfort or whatever. What we're saying is, oh, actually, I'm giving that up. Unruly kids won't comfort you. They won't comfort the people around you. They won't comfort your family. They won't comfort God. Because God says if they grow up and they're too bad, well, in the Old Testament, he killed them. Right? Unruly children are a comfort to no one. And so it's worth the work. It's worth the hard labor. And the truth is that the path to long-term peace and joy and stability in a home is legitimate parental authority. Legitimate parental authority. It's loving authority. It's gracious authority. It lovingly and graciously, firmly as well, works towards obedient, respectful kids. It's not going to happen by accident. Water runs downhill. Kids don't. Right? It's not going to happen by accident. We have to teach them to be obedient and respectful, but you know what? The peace and stability that we want in our family and in outside relationships, it comes when we teach our kids to obey the two basic commands that God has given us, or has given them. Sometimes as parents, we're so preoccupied with work or hobbies or maybe even ministry, we're so busy trying to get ahead in those areas that helping our children do the two things that God told them kind of gets only the leftover attention. And you know what? They pay the price, you pay the price. Here's another danger sometimes for us as parents, and in a, I hope, is a good Bible teaching church, and we want to live Christ out and so on, and many of us are successful in different ways in business and all that we've done. Sometimes we might assume that in our flesh, in our foolish, we might assume that because we've been successful in other areas of life, such as work or Christian living in some other area, because we go to a good church, because we believe the Bible, then, well, everything should just magically work out with our kids. I've been good to God in these other areas, so now he owes me an obligation. And it'll just kind of work out. I mean, look how good I am in my business. Right? Look how successful I am in this or that. And so parenting must obviously, it's in the groove and it'll work. Water runs downhill, but parenting kids doesn't. Other parents, because of self-preoccupation with work or hobbies, I mean, in a fleshly mismanagement of their time, right? Meaning they're giving too much in one area and not enough balancing it out. Sometimes they fail to apply Ephesians 6, 1 and 2 as well, and maybe they do it in this way. They fail because they take the delegation approach to parenting. The delegation approach says, well, it's the church's job to get them right, redeemed, and righteous anyway, and so I'm glad I go to a good church, and those Sunday school teachers better be doing their job. And they go to a good school. We only let them watch Christian videos. These parents think that they can delegate the responsibility of bringing their children up in the ways of the Lord, teaching them to obey and to honor. They think that they can delegate that to someone else. One author has rightly deconstructed the delegating myth when it comes to parenting. He says this, quote, God himself has given the responsibility for raising children to parents. Not to school teachers, not to peers, child care workers, or other people outside the family. Like this, parents must involve themselves in their children's lives enough to ensure that no other influence takes precedence. That's a great thought, isn't it? Parents must involve themselves in their children's lives enough to ensure that no other influence takes precedence. It's one of the reasons why I think mom should be at home taking care of the kids. Because if you're dishing them off to daycare or whatever, you know what? Someone else is having more input than you are. I think what that author is trying to say when he says that is he's summing up Ephesians 6:4, where parents, fathers especially, are told to bring up their children in the way of the Lord. Basically what he's saying is, you know what, God delegated that job to you. God delegated the job to you, and he doesn't allow you to delegate it to someone else. So, whether it's psychologically driven permissiveness, whether it's parental laziness and excuse making, a love of comfort or some kind of illegitimate delegation, none of those approaches, I think, are valid parenting strategies. None of those really help our children obey and honor the two things that God wants from them. God has instructed parents to raise our children. And thankfully, God keeps it pretty simple. Teach them to obey me. Teach them to obey me by obeying you. And secondly, prepare them to worship me by teaching them to honor you from the heart. Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise. Now, I spent a long time on permissiveness and how it undercuts these verses. However, I should also add that there's a second danger that sometimes we get into. It's the other end of the scale, and I think this is probably a little less common, so I'm not going to spend that much time on it, certainly in our kind of circle. Authoritarianism is another thing that can violate what God has taught us here, and we'll deal with this a little bit more under fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. So I'm just going to mention it here, and we'll come back to this next week. Authoritarianism can also be a problem. Permissiveness on one end, authoritarianism on the other. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Colossians 3:21 says it this way, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Don't raise your children or teach your children or discipline your children in such a way that you take the wind out of their sails. That would be a descriptive way of translating that. Do not take the wind out of their sails by parenting in a harsh kind of abusive way. Parents who are verbally or physically abusive, who dominate their children with anger or emotional manipulation, who make an idol out of respect or obedience. If you don't respect or obey me, I'm going to sin to get it and sin if you don't give it to me. Parents who turn family relationships into a war rather than a place of love. They're not fulfilling these verses either. Authoritarianism isn't part of the picture either. And I said, we'll develop that a bit more next Sunday. They're avoiding permissiveness, but they might be straying into a harsh authoritarianism that is definitely not biblical as well. To honor God, then, we must find the biblical middle ground, a love that graciously and firmly, both those words are necessary, graciously and firmly helps children obey. The two basic commands that God gave them, obey your parents and do it with a good attitude. So, up to this point, we found that to rightly apply Ephesians 6, 1 and 2, we're going to need to avoid permissiveness on one hand and authoritarianism on the other. We need to help our children do these two basic things, especially important in the early years of their life. Help them to learn to obey and to honor. Now, let me continue to introduce these verses. This is all just introduction this morning. We'll get to the text itself next week. Let me also continue to introduce these verses for you in another way. Let me give you three presuppositions of parenting, three foundations of parenting. And these are theological foundations. Theology is important to all of life. It's important to parenting as well. What you believe about God, what you believe about the human heart, and what you believe about who we are and what we do and why we do it is really important in every area and especially in parenting. So let me give you three presuppositions that I think must underlie our theology as we approach parenting. It must be the foundation of what we believe. Otherwise, none of this will make any sense to you. Otherwise, when I'm telling you, you need to help your children obey you, if you don't understand this, then it'll be like, it's meaningless, it's nonsense. Why should they obey? Doesn't make any sense. So, three presuppositions. Number one, foundation number one is this. God deserves to be obeyed. As Creator, God deserves to be obeyed. Now, I'm not even going to bother to prove that one from the Scripture. We don't need to prove that. That's an assumption. That's the starting point. God deserves to be obeyed. Everyone agree with that? Thought we'd be okay there. Number two, second presupposition. Children don't naturally do that. Children don't naturally obey God. God deserves to be obeyed. He must be obeyed, but children do not naturally do that. There's a reason this is a command, because kids don't do it naturally. Turn back to the book of Proverbs for a moment. One verse in Proverbs to underline this for you. Proverbs chapter 22. God deserves to be obeyed. He expects to be obeyed. It is right for him to expect that. He is Creator. We are accountable to him. Children don't do that. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child, and takes some instruction, the rod of discipline, to remove it far from them. Foolishness is bound with steel bands, like a crate. When they ship it on a ship, they wrap those steel bands and they ratchet them tight around the box. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child in that way. Because of the fall, see, our theology is important. Because of the fall, the inbuilt sinful bent of man, because of that, children are sinners by nature. They are not obeyers by nature. It's a key phrase. Children, presupposition, are sinners by nature. They are not obeyers by nature. The arrow will never hit the target of obedience unless we help them. Again, one author has summed it up this way. Every child comes into the world with an insatiable capacity for evil. It's a strong way to say it, but I think it's true. Every child comes into the world with an insatiable capacity for evil. He continues, left to themselves, children will pursue a course of sin. You must teach your children to obey. Your kids will be naturally good at disobedience. You have to teach them to obey. They'll be good at disobedience. You don't have to teach them that. They are experts in it from the very beginning. Obedience, that's something they'll have to learn. Unquote. That's presupposition number two. God deserves to be obeyed, demands to be obeyed, and it's right for him to do so. Children are inherently sinful, therefore they don't obey God. Children are not made bad by their parents or their environment, though those things can give them more opportunity to sin. Because of the sin in their own heart, they start with their wheels out of alignment, headed pell-mell for the ditch of disobedience. Disney theology, follow your heart, is the worst advice you could ever give to a child. Third presupposition. God deserves to be obeyed. Children don't naturally do it. Number three, it's dangerous to disobey God. That's our third presupposition of parenting. God deserves to be obeyed, demands to be obeyed. It's right for him to do so. Children don't obey God. Third principle, it's dangerous to disobey God. What children do naturally and instinctively because of the foolishness that is bound up in their hearts is dangerous and destructive for them to do. I can illustrate that very simply. Hell is the most dangerous place in the universe. And that's where God sends those who do not obey him by putting their faith in Jesus Christ. Hell proves that it is ultimately and eternally dangerous to disobey God. Galatians 6, verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You will reap what you sow. But you know what? You don't even have to put that into eternity to realize the danger of disobeying God. You can even draw it back into life and realize even in life it's dangerous and destructive to disobey God. Disobeying God leads to all kinds of things like broken marriages, ruined businesses, enslavement to drugs and alcohol, incapacitating worry, shattered relationships, maybe going to jail, sexually transmitted diseases. I mean, make your list. When you do what God said don't do, things don't go better. Disobeying God is dangerous. God will not be mocked. He'll bring the consequences. So here's the scenario that we have theologically. God deserves to be obeyed. Children don't obey him because they are sinners, but it's deadly to disobey God. What are we going to do? It's dangerous. What our kids do naturally is foolish, destructive, and dangerous. And it's even dangerous and destructive eternally. What kids need is help. What our children need is help. What they need is rescue. Who will step into the gap? Who will step into the gap to teach a child wisdom rather than foolishness? To teach a child obedience rather than rebellion? Who will teach them that there is a God to be obeyed, and that to disobey him hurts, and that to obey him brings peace and joy, stability and grace? Well, God himself could do it. God himself could do it, but God has chosen to glorify himself by using weak, feeble, inadequate parents, you and me. Using weak, inadequate parents to be his teachers. God often glorifies himself by choosing the most incompetent tool that he can find to do the job. And any right-thinking parent knows that that's the case right here. I'm not up to the job. You're not up to the job. We'll have to depend on God for this one, just like everything else. But it's especially obvious in parenting, isn't it? So, our children will be destroyed both now and forever by their foolish propensity to disobey. Who will rescue them from the foolishness of their own hearts? Answer, parents. It's God's plan. Parents are God's representatives in the home. You can say it this way. Parents are a visual aid given by the invisible God so that your children will know what God is like as you love them and as you discipline them. You are a visual aid. You see, as a parent, you are to make real. You are to make visible. You are to make understandable so that your children can see and taste and touch and feel the authority and love of the invisible God. You are a living, breathing visual aid for your kids. How will a child ever understand that he is under God's authority if he is not lovingly brought under his parents' authority? An authority that he can see and understand and relate to. God is an abstraction for a three-year-old. Mom and dad are right there. You are God's agents. You are God's agents. Visual aids to help your kids understand God. Ted Tripp addresses this repeatedly in his outstanding book, Shepherding a Child's Heart. For example, based on the command in Ephesians 6:1 that children are to obey their parents, Tripp writes, and he's obviously dealing with younger children especially here, he says, you must not be embarrassed to be authorities for your children. I think many people in our world today are simply embarrassed. Many parents think, well, I can't do this. Somehow it's wrong to do this. No, God said that what children do is they obey you and they honor you. Help them. That's their job. That's what kids do. They don't contribute anything else to the home when they're little. Right? As someone said once, it's good that babies are cute because they can't do anything else. They don't contribute anything, but they do contribute peace and stability and order when you teach them to obey. So Tripp again, you must not be embarrassed to be authorities for your children. You exercise authority as God's agent. And again, he writes, the most important lesson for a child to learn in the first 5 years of life is he is an individual under authority. That is the most important thing that you can teach a child from age 1 to 5, right? That they are a person under authority, God's primarily and yours as his agent. Because, you know what, you can't teach them the gospel in a way that their little 3-year-old mind is really going to understand, grasp, and repent. It's too abstract. But they can learn that it hurts to do what mommy and daddy don't want me to do, and it feels good when I do what they do want me to do. And that's a pretty important lesson about the gospel. So I'm bombarded by our culture's constant questioning of legitimate, gracious authority of any kind, especially parental authority. A biblically minded statement like that, the most important lesson for a child to learn is that he is an individual under authority. Children, obey your parents, honor your father and mother. That's what God wants to get across. A statement like that, it just brings a new sense of resolve and strength and responsibility back to our parenting. And this is my job. This is what God has given me to do. And I want to do that in a loving and a gracious way. But if I don't teach my kid to obey and to honor, then I'm not doing what God wants them to do or me to do. We must exercise a legitimate, and you can underline that word, loving, underline that word too, authority as we raise our children. Children, obey your parents. That's what God wants them to do. We do that, or as we do that, we teach them about God's authority. We are visual aids, preparing them for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because to understand the gospel, you have to understand that I'm accountable to God and I don't do what he wants, and it hurts when I don't do what he wants, and it'll hurt eternally when I don't do what he wants, and I better repent and obey and honor him. That's the starting point of the gospel. So, what children need to learn early on, and it's a life lesson that goes right with them into school, it goes with them into high school and varsity and submitting to lecturers, it goes to in the workplace, her wife goes as she submits to her husband. What you're teaching your kids in the early part of their life, in those early years, as you teach them to obey and honor you, is one of the most important lessons they'll ever learn. If you want a life of stability and peace where things are going well, God says in verse 2, well, obey and honor your parents. Because that'll teach you to respond to all the other authorities in your life too. And things go better when you respond to authority well. So, understanding that, that the line of authority traces from parents back to God and we stand in God's place as his agents. Understanding that, then, that it's just right for children to obey and honor their parents because God is behind it. What we need to realize is that inside that circle of obeying and honoring their parents, that's where there's safety. Outside of that circle is destruction and chaos. And that's what he says in verse 3, first command with a promise, so it'll be well with you that you may live long in the earth. You want to teach your kids to have a good life? Teach them to respond to authority well. And that starts with your authority as a parent. Now, let me say again, when I'm saying authority in the context of parenting, I'm not talking about some kind of oppressive, draconian, abusive approach to parenting. And this is a legitimate, equal measures of firmness and grace, both of those. It's a legitimate exercise of a God-appointed parental love and direction. I like the way that Martin Luther said it. Referring to Proverbs, he says, spare the rod and spoil the child. That's true. And he added, but beside the rod, keep an apple to give him when he's done well. That's the balance. It's a legitimate authority, but it's a loving, gracious authority. As part of that, we can't, though, overlook as parents that we are God's agents, his surrogate teachers, helping our children to see the dangers of disobedience and the blessings of obedience. And that's why Proverbs 23:14 says that when you use the rod to lovingly correct your child, you rescue his soul from Sheol, from the grave. You are on a rescue mission as a parent. That's your job. If you don't teach your children to obey, calling them back from foolishness, self-assertion, as they rebel against your authority, they'll never learn that they are in danger when they rebel against God's authority. Teach them to respond to you, the lesser authority, so they'll know how to respond to God, the greater one. So, all of that puts a different light on Ephesians 6:1-2. Parents are God's agents, rescuing their children from the natural, foolish, destructive inclinations of their own hearts. In a close, visible way, in a loving way, right there, the child can touch you, can feel you, can hug and be hugged by you. He can feel the bite of immediate consequences when he is willfully rebelled. In a close and immediate, visible way, you teach your children about God by teaching them to obey and honor you as his agents. Parents, of course, are not merely drill sergeants or tight-lipped schoolmasters. Paul compares his leadership style to that of a father in 1 Thessalonians 2, and he speaks of encouraging or imploring with a gentle spirit. There is love and grace and kindness and gentleness galore in the parenting toolbox. I've told some parents, you just need to play with your kids more. Right? Teach them about God. Teach them about God, not only on the obedience-disobedience thing, but about love and friendship and relationship. So Ephesians 6 is allowed to speak. Permissiveness on one hand and authoritarianism on the other have to be dismissed. Let me do one more thing quickly in conclusion. Turn to one verse in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 29. A word of encouragement to our parents, because I know that many, if not all of you, are doing this. You certainly want to do this. Let me give you a word of encouragement. Proverbs 29, verse 17. Teaching children to obey and honor, teaching them both the actions of the outside and the attitudes of the heart, it's a battle. It's hard work. Not complicated in a sense, but it takes faith and endurance. Our children's capacity to disobey seems greater than our ability to respond patiently and lovingly when they do. Some days it does feel like all you do is discipline, and sometimes it's the same thing over and over. Don't give up. Don't give up. You're God's agents. You're standing in for him. He will help you. You can't lose this war because the consequences of losing it are too great for your child. By his grace, you need to do what is right once more than they do what is wrong. You say, as a parent, well, is there an end to it all? I mean, where does this all end? It's such hard work. It ends in Proverbs 29, verse 17. A word of encouragement to the parents who think it might be easier to just let my kids do what they want. Proverbs 29, verse 17 says, correct your son and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. The peace, stability, order, love, good attitudes that you long for in your home, and as parents of younger children, sometimes we wonder, when does this happen? They don't come by giving up. In the early years, especially challenging many times, you lay the foundation for a lifetime. And you're not going to do that in 5 weeks, 5 months, or even 5 years. But as you're faithful, your children, as you faithfully help your children obey God's two basic commands to them, obey your parents and honor them with your attitude, God will shape your children. That's his normal process of working. And the hard work of those early years, it pays off. Well-disciplined children are a comfort. They're a delight to you and everyone else. They're a delight to their teachers. They're a delight to their bosses one day. They're a delight to the husband and wife. Years ago, we were talking about this with one of the Shepherd's Conference speakers who was staying in our home, and his children are about 10 years older than ours, and so it was a bit further down the road, and we were at that stage that I've just been describing where you're kind of looking and saying, when does this ever change? You know, does this ever, am I going to still have to be spanking my children when they're 27? You know, what is going on here? Is there an end to this? And we were talking about this, and he smiled, and he said, you know, we felt exactly the same way. He said, just keep doing what's right. Keep doing what God says, and at some point, you turn a corner. The number of spankings, hidings drops dramatically. See, eventually the child figures out, it takes a while to get from the seat to the brain, but it takes a while, but eventually they realize that they're just not going to win, that it hurts every time I do this. And after about the 9,987th time, they finally go, huh, it hurts every time I do that. Maybe I should stop doing that. And some kids learn that a little bit faster than others, but in the end, a faithfully disciplined child will comfort your hearts. That's the most encouraging advice I ever received as a parent. I think my wife would agree with that. We clung to those words of encouragement, were basically a summary of Proverbs 29:17. And for parents, you know, there is a reward in all the effort. First, God's delight in your faithfulness, whatever your kid does or doesn't do. And second, the peace and comfort that you sometimes admire from afar as a parent. Boy, I wish it could be like that in my home. You know what? That peace and comfort can be in your home. It doesn't come by giving up. It doesn't come by blowing up in anger. It comes by faithfulness to do the right thing one more time than they do the wrong thing. Children who come when you call, sit when they're told, stop when you reprove them, and even maybe sometimes, imagine this, they do what's right without being told. Don't pass out, parents. It could happen. It doesn't happen by accident. It's God's grace dispensed through you, a faithful parent. The result is usually, God willing, children whom it's a delight to be around, both in their actions and their heart attitudes. Correct your son, and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. Let's pray. Lord, these are such important subjects that we've been dealing with in the last weeks. Marriage, family, biblical manhood and womanhood, the roles of a husband to sacrificially love and live with his wife in an understanding way. The wife graciously, lovingly submitting to her husband as to the Lord. And now with children. Children obey, children honor, and certainly we can address the children here and pray for them that this is a work that you do in their hearts. And Lord, I pray that they would hear and take this to heart and that they would give special attention to doing the two basic things that you've told them that they are to do. I pray for us as parents because that is so critical. We are to help, we are to guide, we are to aim the arrow at the target. Grant us grace. Give strength, Lord, endurance to the parents out there who are doing this, struggling, sometimes failing, but wanting to do what's right. Give them strength and encouragement and help. Help them to see the joy at the end of the process. And Lord, to those who maybe need to put on this kind of approach to parenting, even to start with, Lord, grant them the grace to set aside worldly thinking and come back to your thinking and to be your agents in their home for love and gracious authority. Help us all, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Theme of parenting.